to the MTR Network. We are back for another Super Tuesday recap of Batwoman, aka the CW is listening to us. We know you are, because everything we talked about in the first few episodes has come to pass since. I am Shanna. I am joined by Ro and Hiroja, and we are here to talk about episodes 5 and 6, Gore on Canvas and Do Not Resuscitate. Before we get started, I'm just going to ask, how y'all like these new episodes? I'm actually, because I already see your face. I'm going to start with Hiroja.
The notebook open. The notes are out, y'all.
Like you said, CW was listening to us. I appreciate the effort to bring some more skin. It's still a little bit mellow for me, but I see you're building up to something, and I appreciate it. And I also appreciate you getting a new tailor for Candace Johnson, because his suits were well fitted, and I appreciate you. Was it accenting or enhancing his form, if you will, with them suits?
I mean, there's nothing wrong with accentuating good shoulders.
That's the word I was looking for. Yeah.
And Ro.
I got you. Yes. We'll just all be thirsty together. I mean, if that's how we're going to start, let's just go.
I mean, the other thing was, like, can we agree that the crows are the big bad this season? Okay, because that's what I was feeling. And it's, I don't know if they're going to make Sophie the villain at the end of the season, or just Jacob Kane, one or the other, I'll be fine with it. But the crows are the big bad. It's not Sophia.
They're the cops.
Okay.
Well, yes.
So, yes.
I sent Ro a message today where I was like, I already got the title for the episode. I was like, and I shall reveal it now here in the meeting. It's All Crows Are Bastards. They said that, and I was like, why is the episode not titled that? Like, that is the thesis, the central thesis of both of these episodes.
Yeah. Across the top of my nose, it says, we don't fuck with crows. So, I mean, I was like, yeah. I really feel like they're doing some nice trajectory things, and I have been very appreciative of them. And I don't like how I feel that they're building up to something and they're still designing it around Kate. But I do like how the volume is being turned down on Kate Kane as the volume is being turned up on Alice, because that actually makes sense. If you want to talk about Sophia, you want to talk about Coriana, you want to talk about Desert Rose and the purpose, you want to talk about the army, all of that requires Alice. And the way that they're kind of introducing her real origin story rather than the one we got first season, which was very shallow and only interesting because the actress is amazing at everything she does. And please may they let her change her hair color soon, just because, you know, I like her as a ginger and I'm greedy. But I also feel like the more that they kind of build out of what's going on with Alice, and it again roots things into Gotham, but it opens up these doorways into other areas of the Arrowverse and other shows. So you start thinking about, where are we going to start seeing our first, you know, cameos from other shows? When's our first crossover going to be? I'm really sad that we had a pandemic cancel of the one that was originally planned. But so now you have the introduction of the fine ass man behind Snakebite. And then you have that crossover, but then that also brings you back into the kind of Batwoman that Ryan is and what that means with her life, which then again forces all of the issues, which quite frankly had become tedious in season one, back to having a kind of new vibrancy. You're circling back around. I know we're talking in themes of people, so I guess we started with the crows and thirstiness. Yeah. We can stay with the crows.
Okay, so I just, yes, the crows, Sophie and Jacob, besides the All Crows Are Bastards, when Ryan called her Crophy, I was like, I know. I almost ran to Twitter and I was like, save it for the podcast. Are we ghostwriting this season behind the scenes? Because this is what we talked about. This is what we talked about with all of the chickens coming home to roost in regards to the crows.
By one.
Like, y'all are a extrajudicial police force. And when it opens in episode six, where Batwoman's doing all this stuff, and, you know, because they're leading up to, like, Ryan's sick. But I'm like, Batwoman's doing all this stuff. How do you have cops, an extrajudicial police force, and still just criminals running around this city? They are not doing anything unless it directly benefits them. And I am so glad that we have Ryan, this character who has fallen on the wrong side of the crows through no fault of her own, like, calling it out every single time.
I mean, her vagina got in trouble, so it's kind of her fault. But
your dick or your vagina is
not. Yeah, I'm like, look, I know. I was like, pussy problems are real. I mean, so let's be real. But, like, in the reality of the situation, when you drive it backwards, this is kind of a nice commentary, and it's a good juxtaposition between how they use Kate Kane as Batwoman and Ryan as Batwoman, because Kate acknowledged the fact that her father was running a business, and that it was about, you know, the people who could pay for his service, and that it was about him wanting to build a world where nobody else would go missing and nothing could happen to his children like had happened to his daughters. And it was quite specifically designed not to work the way Batman worked. So that meant he was abandoning the majority of Gotham, because that's who Bruce Wayne / Batman actually worked in service of. He went after criminals. He didn't care what your bank account said. It also helped for him to be conceded that his bank account eclipsed everyone else's in the city, but, you know, bygones on that issue. So you have this man, Jacob, who I cannot stand with a deep abiding and passion in my heart. And I had so many moments in this episode where I'm just like, let him die. It's fine. We'll be all right. It's cool. You'll just re-inherit again. You don't have to worry about this dude over here trying to declare your sister dead, because your daddy be dead and you can just take it over. It's fine. It's cool. I know I have been declared by Chris on another podcast to be the villain of the show, and I'm perfectly okay and content to sit in that energy. But I really felt like it showed you a difference. Like, she's running around, and even in the first episode where you get Sophie trying to convince her, I'm trying to change the culture, I'm trying to infiltrate. And I was like, you need to be punched in your face, because that is what every person says when they know that they have stayed too long in a job and that they have become part of the problem.
She's part of the problem. Just like the following episode where Sophie would not have convinced me to rat out my girlfriend, but she convinced Ryan to use his doodad, this very invasive. She said, this technology shouldn't exist. You shouldn't have this, but she still used it anyways on her girlfriend. This extrajudicial stuff to go after Kate that Ryan doesn't really give two shits about, really. She only cares about possibly the cure, but not only for herself, but because of her interactions with Mary and seeing it happen, this could potentially help people. You know, she's thinking of the city and thinking of all the other people. And yeah, I don't know if Jacob is going to do the big villain turn at the end, or if it's going to be Sophie, where Sophie's so trying to be righteous and everything, and just all this evil that she's really doing, and just collapsing in on her, and she's just going to have to, like, sit in with the fact that she's the villain.
Yeah.
What do you mean villain turn? They're vigilantes. They're barely blessed by the official authorities. They're no better than what he considers Batman and Batwoman to be. And I don't think that they're going to have to be a turn. I think it's going to become an authoritarian issue. I think it literally is going to come down to they're going to lean into who they are. And
that's what I mean. Like, really lean hard. Like, it's not this soft, softening that they're doing, but like a really hard authoritarian crackdown. Because look what Jacob did to Mary. He took her clinic away that her, like you said, her mom knew she had this clinic. She's helping people. And he was like just listing off the different types of crimes that she could be doing. She said, I'm helping people. I'm helping people that the general, you know, Gotham Hospital is not helping. I'm doing good stuff. And he's like, you know, I'm shutting this down. And that, and the worst part of it is they were having that conversation, like, about her mother possibly knowing about the human experimentation. He said, no, your mother's a good person. She would never do that. And then he threw it in the her face, saying, your mother did human experimentation, and you could be doing the same thing. And I was like, oh.
Also, I'm like, the, again, we go back to two things. One, you're over here listing the litany of, like, possible crimes that she might be committing as not being licensed. Your people, like, last week, you were beating a man to death to give you information, and then your people who work under you, take orders from you, clipped hit you with a car. The
damn car. That was not a clip. They hit him with an SUV.
Yes. And like, but you're so quick to list everybody's stuff. And I really appreciate what Mary said, because he's sitting there when they're all tied up and Amygdala has them. He's sitting there talking about some, wow, I just keep finding out things about my family that I didn't know. And then the minute you find out some stuff, like just like he did to Kate, I don't want you to be a crow, so I'm going to send you away. I'm going to take this away. Like, now you're doing the same thing to Mary. The minute you don't like what she's doing, you're saying, she's like, I actually really liked it when you ignored me. Because at least then I got to do the thing. Like, you wonder why nobody in your life tells you what is happening with them. This is the reason.
Let's go back to that. But I also, I really feel like that kind of, you know, I think that was a real break. I think that was when we talk about family and we talk about the nature of parents. And I really want all of the CW shows for somebody to be overt in the storyline. So especially white parents can learn the lessons. Stop hiding shit that your kids need to know that can lead to them doing something later that can mess up your whole family. Mm-hmm. Or better yet, you know, just name story arcs, big, huge storylines, how to leave your children open to negative influences. You know, because this is also the same thing. He was a deeply neglectful father.
Yes.
He was really arrogant, and his wife and his two daughters were not with him because he left them at their bat mitzvah to go to work. Mm-hmm. And they got caught up, and Batman wasn't able to save them because he also had them driving in a car that had a manufacturer's defect that he probably got the warranty notice on for the recall, didn't answer it because he was too busy taking care of somebody else's stuff for money, and now his family's dead. So for him, he externalized that and he blamed it on Batman. He didn't take any responsibility for how he was living his life, running his family, and being inattentive to the things that should have mattered. So then he finds another woman who, you know, is willing to feed his need to have the blame be and everything be external, and she just wants to heal them because, you know, everybody tells lies and takes bones and convinces somebody that they found the crushed skull of their child because they'd like them to be happy enough to get married again, you know. I mean, just saying. And, you know, we can be a power couple and we can rule the world. He bought that. It wasn't just that. Mm-hmm. And then again, later he finds out that she lied. She probably had the altruistic motive of not being able to take watching Kate in pain anymore. Yeah. But he bought it when she was like, you know, we can do this and you can channel your inner this way and we can save people and we can run the world. And between the two of us, we can have power to make sure this never happens again. He cued into the words that he cued into in his first marriage: power, control, mm-hmm. authority. So,
and also, like, you're surprised that the woman that you used to be married to might have done some secret experiments when, again, you also act above and beyond the law. This is y'all's MO.
And no shade, a significant number of the equipment and products and weapons she designed were for the crows.
Yeah, and who makes billions of dollars of money cleanly?
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. I mean,
depends on your definition of clean, but yes.
True. Cleanly. And with that, I think Mary is mm-hmm. not going to interact with Jacob.
She's going to have possible, to. She's going to have to.
To find Kate, it's just going to be very business, very transactional.
Well, that's what I kind of like about where we are coming to, or where we kind of are right now in the story. Everyone's compromised morals are now rubbing up against each other, because you have Mary who feel like Mary's like, I have this clinic, I'm helping Batwoman, I'm on the side of good. Now she's finding out like all of this background stuff that's been happening in Hamilton dynamics. And so the question becomes, do you take a stand or do you continue to let certain things happen because it's helping you find Kate and it's helping you help Batwoman? And then with Luke, like similarly, with Ryan Luke, had Alex. To call him on it, like, oh wait, you just be hanging out with Alice, you just be getting tips from Alice, you don't call the police when Alex contacts you. And like,
so you went out. Yeah, so you went out. I was like, first of all, if she claps her hands, he's a dead man. If she does more than hold her hands in front of her body, if she claps those hands,
I thought she was going to clap the hands. I thought she, like, the second she might go for the third time. Like,
yeah, I was like, he's a dead man. Yeah, I was like, I don't care how radiated her body is. She can take Luke. She can take him. I'm like, he's going to die. She will body slam him into his case. But I mean, I also think that it opened the door for him to have the judgment calls. It's like this, I feel like this was one full complete story arc in which they showed each person in the place where they were, and the thing, everybody reached the points where they had to come to a true understanding of what will you do for the people you love, for your city, for yourself, for the greater good. What lines will you cross? What will you obliterate? And I think that all of that surrounds the hypocrisy of the one man who never acknowledges all of the lines he's crossed for all of the ways in which he's justified whatever it is that he wants to do. So with respect to Sophie, the moment that I really love that's been building up ever since Ryan and she have been in the same orbit has been forcing her to confront herself and what she has done. I just had a conversation with somebody about this, but we were talking about people in the real world, but the analogy still applies. Sophie treats her Blackness like it's something she has to apologize for, that everything else about her needs to be otherwise acceptable and neutral. Sophie is what a lot of people consider to be the living embodiment of respectability politics as they understand that term to be. I think it's very interesting, and I think a lot of it's accidental. I don't think that this is very purposeful from the writer's room. No. I think this is a lot of them not understanding. I think they're accidentally doing a very good thing. their own tone deafness and their own non-lived experience showing through by the words they put in her mouth is by the very nature of it being wrong. So very freaking wrong coming out of a Black woman's mouth. Doing a very good thing to build a narrative that can start conversations that can be of added value and adding a nuance and depth to the show that I don't think that they intended to. Yeah. Because when you really look at it, the moment when Ryan looks her in the face and says, "Have you ever been in love?" And she says, "Of course she has." She says, "And you're alone."
Yeah.
You didn't need anything other than that, because then you just get the whole nice little, you know, previously on snippets of her entire life, not even just with Kate, but every decision she's made that has now estranged her from her mother. Every excuse she's used to accept the tactics that the crows use. The simple fact that she could talk through knowing Ryan went to jail and shouldn't have, that she knew exactly everything that was wrong, meant that they could have stopped it. She could have stopped it. They didn't have any reason to stop her. So why did they search her? So that in and of itself, there's so many things in the little speeches they give that tell you about the lines that she's already crossed, that the deal she's already made with herself, the excuses she relies on.
And she's still using acknowledging it, but still being manipulative. When she says to Brian, you know, you went to prison for this girl. And she's still dealing. I mean, how right is that? And trying to emotionally manipulate her, knowing that she should never have gone to jail in the first place.
Right. Like a cop.
Yeah.
Like a cop. And the advice that she should be using, you know, warrants and all that you know.
I'm sorry. And, I don't and know doing why you're all laughing. Of this. If somebody walks in with a device that's directly designed to violate everyone's Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, and Sixth Amendment rights,
and it doesn't even work right.
But the, well, it's my thing is like.
I mean, just because it's trash technology, don't mean it's still not bad.
It's so ridiculous because. I like Sophie and Jacob do this, and I'm just like, I know how they do it, but I'm just also like, how do you do this? Because they, while admonishing people for like crossing lines and doing the wrong thing, they are doing the wrong thing in service of the same thing. It's she's like, yes. Oh, you would cover for this girl who's done you wrong. How many times have you covered for Kate? How every single thing you're doing, every single line you're crossing, you're justifying it by doing this for Kate. Kate, the same Kate who wasn't honest with you, the same Kate who abandoned you. I mean, like, let's be real. Like you said, like, Kate had the power to, like, make some different decisions. Like, you know, like, that's the Kate you're crossing all these lines for and justifying what you're doing for. And you have the audacity to use that same narrative to manipulate someone else. And then feel bad about it.
Alice still run around and Ocean, yep. who you know is behind Snakebite, just to get a map that will potentially help you find Kate. The same maybe. Person you're saying, yeah, maybe, that you're doing all these crossing lines for.
Yeah.
I mean... Right.
Yeah. Which I thought was even more hilarious. I'm like, you're in the process of saying that this person shouldn't defend this person while putting this person in a position to break even more rules and laws, but only for you. And mm-hmm. on the other hand, you're lying to these other people about why you're doing it because you know exactly who Ocean is, and this doesn't have anything to do with trying to catch a drug dealer.
Yes. No. Or so, yeah, stopping. Because how many people will be hurt if we don't stop this drug from hitting the streets?
Because, right. See, legit, like you're saying that you have somebody who's a direct connection between three different open cases for Snakebite when you have people who've been dying behind this drug and you have a mid-level supplier and you haven't pulled that person in, you're not trying to clean up the city because of where that drug leads to. The people who are coming down in the hood to get Snakebite, buying it at $100-$200 a pop, they don't live in that side of Gotham. Mm-hmm. They just came down to the supplier. I love the way that they kind of make all of these very contemporary and relevant commentaries without ever falling outside of the superhero module. And I do feel like they are running through Nemesis very quickly in order to do that.
Yeah, because it's interesting too that Angelique is constantly telling Ryan, I don't stop dealing because I'm not afraid of the crows. I'm not afraid of the, you know, the quote unquote, like, scary poor people. I'm afraid of what these rich motherfuckers will do to me if I turn on them. Like, Angelique is very, very clear. Like, that.
Yeah.
She's very smart, future crime lord in the making.
Yeah. No, she's not. No, she's not. She don't die.
You think she's gonna die?
Painfully.
I mean, they have. That's like so part of the superhero trope because unless she turns her life around, she's technically not a good guy. So she's expendable.
She gonna die or she gonna get somebody dead. I don't like Angelique. I would like her to go away. I think that like any unresolved feelings they have should be at a point of closure. And Ryan need to close her legs. I don't like Angelique. I don't like her at all. She is a problem. I don't any two body who violates your trust to the point to where your ass went to jail.
Okay. To jail. Yes. I think Angelique as a character is very smart. She saw Ryan come in, was able to persuade her to get into the party. She figured out it was Ryan that bugged her phone. She was able to talk her way out of Alice and Sophie's thing and skedaddle. She's probably making moves to take Ocean's position because Ocean's gone. I mean, I don't think she's a negative influence on Ryan.
Yeah, I didn't say she was stupid. I said she was gonna die.
I'm just saying she could get somebody
killed.
Potentially.
I mean, no, I think, look, this is my problem with characters when they create them like Angelique and then they want to blend them in to make them actual affirmative love interests. I think they have to sacrifice something in some level of their story development in the story narrative. If they just really wanted to make this be about the conflicted nature of my girlfriend's back, I still love her, she still loves me, but there's this thing sitting between us that we can't resolve, I was all for that, except for the fact that, well, people really need to understand that one and done means one and done, but whatever. You're not supposed to go back in, dive, and then decide to stay in the water. But if they were going to do that, and it was going to be a limited story arc, and then they were going to have some moment where there was going to be a break, and then Angelique was going to be firmly on the other side of the line, and that it was eventually going to come to be around, does she figure out who Ryan is? And then what does she do with that? I thought if they were building to that, and there was where it was going to be a very added value layer of story. And that's not what we're getting. And I feel like they're compromising both the integrity of the relationship that they presume we're supposed to assume existed between these two before, because I don't think that she actually really knows that until Ryan admitted that she did it. I don't think she knew. I think she was going to everybody and tracing her steps back, trying to figure out where her phone got bugged. I also think that if you think your phone is bugged, even if your tech guy thinks he got it off, you don't have that phone anymore. And she's still using that phone. So that's a dumb. Yeah. And that speaks to the nature of the protection that you put in place with yourself. Again, I am making the disclaimer that I am not showing anybody how to engage effectively in criminal activity. But if you are doing what she is doing, the second somebody tells you, I think your phone is compromised, that phone is underwater. It's been right somewhere, or you set somebody up.
Some of it is also a little bit of like just bad writing, because there was also the moment in episode 5 where she notices Ryan's injury. And I was like, didn't y'all fuck? Like, how are you just seeing that?
Yeah.
Were the lights off? Were her clothes still on? If they were, why?
I'm just saying, it's like right there above the boob. And I'm just saying that there would be some boobage action happening. She should have seen that already.
And glows. Pulsates and glows.
Look, did that pulsate?
Of green. I understand your girls got nice titties, but I don't know what world in which you don't notice that her clavicle area above her breasts is blinking green at you. I mean, I need to understand that. What's your level of distraction? But outside of us just being trifling, I do really feel like there was a moment that they decided to compromise this story in furtherance of keeping this whole thing about Kate. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they need it, because we have Alice, and Alice actually belonged, if you know from the comics, Alex actually at one point in time was running the army. She was like Ace Boon Coon. And I like the way that they've managed to work around to giving us some more of her organic origin story from the comics, even though they led with the story of the accident, and now they're circling back around and giving us, because of this missing time, mysterious memories in the time period between when she was Beth and when she really became Alice, we're really truly getting the origin of where her becoming and being known as Alice is really coming from. And I think if they had done that, and they had kept Ryan as someone who exists in Ocean's World, and that was the connection point. And like you said, there's now a potential vacuum, because Ocean is otherwise engaged, and may he continue to do so half naked. But the man is fine.
Getting to Alice and Ocean, what I think will be interesting is there is something there in the fact that Sophia and Ocean are siblings and Alice and Kate are siblings. And I know like Sophia's all like, you don't want to know the backstory, because then you wouldn't be able to complete this mission. But it's also Sophia wants her sibling dead. And there's something there, because Sophia also seems like the type of person that if she really wants something done, she'll do it herself. So the fact that she's not doing it means something. And I'm just wondering, like, how can Alice turn this back on Sophia? How can Alice and Ocean working together?
That's what was confusing me a little bit with the Sophia storyline, because it seemed like she sent Alice to kill Ocean, knowing their backstory, knowing that they're gonna meet, and then Alice is not going to kill Ocean. Yet, it's like, does she want Ocean and Alice to come back to the island together? Is that how Ocean's gonna come back to the island? That was that her original tit the whole time? I'm just a little confused on, like yourself, like on the end game for Sophia, because she seems too sophisticated and too demanding to not have Ocean killed already.
Yeah.
I
don't think it's ever really been about, you remember the flashback where he said, you're just angry because I can have the thing that you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Alice?
Or yeah. Something else? That's what I'm wondering.
I think it's a combination of things. And I think, well, one of it is, Sophia doesn't like anyone who's more loyal to someone besides her.
Mm-hmm.
And there are factions on the island, but as evidenced by, you know, Whisper being pissed off, Knife being pissed off. What's the idiot boy who came to get the gun and messed up and ended up dead? I shouldn't call a whole ass sniper an idiot boy, but he did, so we gonna go with it. Like, so there are some questions now. Was Alice actually Sophia's student versus was she Ocean's student, now that you know that Ocean is the one who trained her army?
Which, by the way, the minute they started fighting, I was like, ooh, they're going to have like memories because they're touching. I'm such a fangirl.
Such a girl.
They have memories because they're touching and they're totally were in love.
I was like, this is going to turn into fight sex.
I love fight sex. That's like my favorite thing in the Arrowverse, fight sex. Oh my God.
Fight sex. It is one of the things they do very well, for which I'm appreciative. May they never stop.
But the best line I saw was when she was tied up in the motel room and the goons were coming for them. And she's like, let me go. And he goes, I don't trust you. She goes, you don't trust that I am going to stop my own murder? I mean, it was just such an Alice thing.
She's like, I'm not dying for you. What's wrong with you?
Yes.
But I also think that they're building to the point to where the question may not be about the fact that she ever thought that Alice would kill Ocean. It might actually be about she needs them both to remember, and the only way to do that is to throw them into proximity to each other.
Okay.
Or it could be that she wanted to break Alice again. Alice has a level of clarity that people are probably not used to. Like, she's not, she may be fixed and focused on finding Kate, because, you know, I have a sibling who firmly has told me to my face, I'm allowed to pick on you, no one else is. So I understand the whole, if you're going to die, it'll be because I kill you mentality.
Yes.
That probably sounded worse than I meant it to, but it's too late to take it back. It's fine.
We can talk about this. I've almost killed a brother of mine 7 times. So
I mean, sometimes you just have to decide if it's time to go.
No, I love my brother.
I didn't say I didn't love my brother. I said if he's going to die, it's probably going to be by me. I mean, that's a completely different thing.
Real talk.
Yeah. So given, you know, before we admit to any potential felonies that could be a problem, let's move back to the show. But like, if you think about it, it could be, Sophia is always moving multiple things. And the army in the comics exists. And at one point in time, Alice held a very high position in the army that was in direct opposition to Sophia.
Okay.
So depending on what they're planning on parsing out and pulling from the comics, if they're planning on bringing the army all the way into the show, there are factions, there are teams. Alice ran a team and Ocean wasn't on it. So it could be they know something she needs, and she wiped their memory before she got it, and now she needs them to remember, and they don't remember separately. It could be that she's petty boots and wanted to make Alice kill Ocean because she loved Ocean more than she loved Sophia. Or, you know, because she also was tasked with protecting the island, and I do understand the idea of, you know, you betrayed me, you did this thing, I'm gonna make you kill what you love.
Okay, let's talk about the island. Like, I know in the DC world, there's a few, and it's also in the Marvel, a few hidden island things. a hidden map with ocean currents. Is it a magical, mystical thing? Is that why the island can't be found? Is that where we're gonna go here? Is that what it is?
It's our Lian Yu. I feel like DC has so many hidden secret islands you can't only find with. I'm like, is this just like a constant, what's that guy, like Raiders of the Lost Ark, like this is like forever, like some, you need a map, there's always like a map to find, like, yeah, this is just I mean
like you have to remember we play in a world where dimensions are a thing, and it could just be like you need the convergence of magic. You could be, if you want something not to be hidden, then you hide it in between things, but it exists between the two things. It's like a lot of people say about the Bermuda Triangle. So for me, I kind of tend to think of it more like a Bermuda Triangle type situation. Okay. But that is a common trope that they use throughout the DC verse. They really, really, really like
there's
it.
There's like Thermoscara, there's Lian Yu, there's, I guess, yeah. This island here. There's a couple more that I can't recall.
Yeah, I mean, but they all exist. You just have to have the exact right time. You have to follow the exact right path. You know, you need Nick Cage to bring you the pair of glasses so you can look at the thing and see the convergence. Yes.
I was wondering if it was going to lead into maybe a magic person coming onto the show.
I mean that's possible, but the army always knows how to get home.
Yeah.
See, but they don't, because their mind's been wiped and they need the map back.
So yeah, but they're not the only. Yeah, they're not the only members of the army, and he never did explain exactly why he had the map. He let her assume.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it doesn't necessarily mean.
And he did know even before he started to get his memory back that it was a map.
Yeah, he knew exactly what he took.
Yeah.
So then it also plays into the question of, did he go out on a mission for Sophia and Sophia decided that he betrayed her? Or what? Or is he looking for something and doesn't remember why? But you do have to remember that even before you went anywhere, he had already stolen the map.
The map, yeah.
And I know they played it back and they made it to where Kate had the map in her phone, but we don't actually know that Kate is the one who put that picture in her phone that was found in the crash.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, we also don't know if Kate knew what it was. Like, even if she did have the picture, like, because the picture is the picture of a painting, like, you know, so like,
and Kate, remember, she also was coming to understand that Batman actually murdered people, so and kept trophies from the Joker.
So, you know, we don't know why Kate was looking for that thing. Because I feel like we've kind of hit on everybody, but I do just want to point out, like you said, they're running through these villains. So in episode 5, we get Wolf Spider, who is Evan Blake, who I just love.
I love that actor.
I love that actor. The actor does such a good job, like, as Evan Blake. My other favorite thing is when they get him in the suit as Wolf Spider. Roy Harper School of Unnecessary Flips. Like, the way man just like parkour.
I was like, this is so much capoeira and parkour. I'm gonna need you to stop and actually hit somebody right now. But you do look fabulous. Can we talk about how well his face was beat though?
Oh, he was the everything, like the makeup, the outfit, everything. And then I can't get over, like, my man got hit by a car, but managed to flip away from a bullet. How?
I mean, an SUV is a little bit bigger.
I'm just saying, he saw the bullet coming, was able to flip over a bullet, but couldn't flip away from that big old car.
I mean, it was kind of unfair. Who thinks someone's just going, like, okay, look, I'm not gonna lie, I would automatically assume if the crows or anything, especially in their vehicle, they're gonna kill me. Yeah. They'll hit me with their car. But he wasn't really he wasn't really, you know, he was like, I just have to run. I just have to outdistance him. I just have to get away from him. I'm like, they're going to hit you, bro.
I was like, what plan was this? Also, I was like, what plan was this? The plan was always like to run away from the scene of the crime. Why did you not have an escape car?
I sincerely doubt that that was the plan. I think the plan was come in as Wolf Spider, steal the painting, go somewhere, hide the painting, and come back to the party as Evan.
Yeah.
So he didn't actually have a flee all the way away from their plan. Just saying.
And then we got Amygdala. Although Amygdala is still alive. Right? They didn't kill Amygdala. Yeah. So
no, they just knocked his little cancer brain ass out.
So we have a chance for that villain to, I mean, Evan didn't die either. So I kind of like that we're getting into that. Because that's always the hallmark of a Batman show, is like the villains can come back. The villains don't die. They get put away. They come back. So I'm enjoying that. And then also, what was the other? The doctors at Hamilton Dynamics. This is going to be really interesting because we talked about this before. Mary doesn't have the control that Mary used to have. Her mom's reputation has already kind of been tarnished,
I was about to say.
I feel like we're really going to have to get into and also with Jacob shutting down her clinic, how does Mary rebuild her name? How does she separate herself from her family? And, you know, because the clinic was how she was doing that, at least for herself.
I don't think she will, because she went to Jacob and never got to tell him that she came to him to talk about kryptonite. Mm-hmm. She came to him because she needed to lean in to talk about and to be in the loop of what was going on with Coriana. I think once Mary calms down and gets over the fact that her daddy ain't shit, that she will come up with a play to still continue to be involved in Gotham at the ground level the way she was. Maybe she'll move her clinic. Maybe she'll open her clinic back up and dare him to do something about it. I mean, it's not like he's got a deep attention span when it comes to paying attention to his daughters. But I think that Mary is going to be swiftly wrapped up in a situation where she's going to have to decide what to do about Hamilton, because she's going to realize she can't let them do what they're doing, mm-hmm. and she can't let them be who gets to the island. So I think that they've really nicely situated Mary to come into some dilemmas. And because of what her dumbass daddy did, he's going to push her into a situation where she's going to have to cross a line that she would not necessarily have had to cross had he not put her back up against the wall because he's a dumbass and he should have had a vasectomy instead of children. But I also, I'm really don't like him. I don't like him. I think he's selfish. I think he's arrogant. I think he's everything that's, I think he's the living embodiment of what's exactly wrong with our actual policing and law enforcement structure as it relates to
bad at it. Mm-hmm.
And he's terrible at it. He's a horrible cop.
Makes me so mad.
He caught, tied up.
He has no situational awareness. Yeah. A whole ass truck slow rolled up and hit his SUV. He didn't notice. He mad he didn't know his daughter had an underground clinic. He missed a whole ass truck hitting his SUV. So, but yeah, he's a bad cop. But he's also an administrator. I've had all these years of resistance training. Man, come on, he only had to stab you twice. Your daughter's looking at your face going, this nigga gonna break. I'm gonna just tell. You gonna die.
Yeah.
I'm terrible. But I really do think that but you also have to remember that not all of her past foes, even Kate's, are dead. A lot of them are in Arkham. Uh-huh. So I think there's still opportunity for those to circle back around and to get things more complicated. And Nocturna knows about Mary's blood too, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Our little vampy friend.
Yeah.
And she's only in Arkham. So I think that they're setting up for at least a three-pronged problem with respect to Coriana, and I think Mary stands directly in the center of two of those prongs.
I mean, Mary's going to continue too, because just not only like her blood, but she's freaking smart. Like, I just want people to continue to acknowledge that she's really fucking smart. That was the other thing that pissed me off about Jacob taking away her clinic. And I was like, bitch, she's smart. Let her do what she's doing.
Well, what killed me is the part where he's like, well, you're not qualified. I was like,
That pissed me off.
According to
whom? Like, you should have said, you're not licensed. You should have said, you're not licensed. You haven't finished your training. Don't say she's not qualified, because she has saved whole ass lives, and not just because she could stitch. Like, I was like, the back of his cranium was crushed. she ran a whole underground experiment and figured out not only that this blood could synthesize, she knew. And remember, we were talking before about why wasn't she concerned about what Hamilton would do? She knew before she gave it to them that it wouldn't go second gen, that they would only be able to make as much as they could, and when they were out, they would be out. Mm-hmm. So she knew that before she gave it to them, which answers that question for us. And I think, given that she knows that, when Dum-Dum amygdala of the anger management problems wakes up and he tells him that, that crazy doctor whose name I cannot remember, and I think it's important that we do,
Yeah, they seem to emphasize the fact that he had cowboy boots, the little stirrup, and mm-hmm. he came in with a mask. So I don't know if that's supposed to be a hint of something, but his argument...
I don't think the guy who came in was the doctor.
Yeah, I think there's a separate guy.
There's a doctor the doctor that did the experiment and the old man died. The woman doctor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's the doctor she was arguing with, saying how many people are supposed to die. He goes, yes, but what happens when we do the cure and how many people are going to live?
My name will live forever. You could just see it on his face. You could see the crazy.
And you saw Mary being like, do you think if I could have been the person to discover a super cure, I wouldn't have done it?
She's like, you really think I don't want to cure all blood diseases? Really? 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 If her hands had been free, she actually probably would have done it, said it that way. But I didn't think it was the doctor who showed up.
It's not the same person? I thought it was the same person.
I thought it was a henchman.
No, because he had the boots. He had the cowboy boots.
Okay,
the,
you're right.
Cowboy boots. Yeah.
I think it's important that we figure out who that doctor is supposed to be.
Look at me.
Because remember, by the time he got there, Mary wasn't there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And he got the map from she who should have been shot in her head.
Who also gets knocked around quite a bit.
Knocked between the washer and the dryer every single time.
And I love it. And I love it. But honestly, I truly feel like they need to go ahead and put the Kate storyline to bed, because unless they are going to continue to give me more of Kate besides what we're getting, I feel that Kate has outlived her usefulness and they should just let her die. They should just let her get shot in the head. We ain't giving up no maps today. We don't negotiate with terrorists. And
I haven't actually confirmed it for myself, because when I was watching it, I didn't close watch it. And it's from a source that I don't know is reliable, but apparently in the special that they showed after Superman and Lois, some folks are saying that they like digitally removed Ruby Rose from one of the moments.
I saw that, and I don't know if it was reliable, but I didn't see the special though.
Yeah.
I did see the special, and I don't, it wasn't really a remove.
Okay.
It was the clip they picked. They just didn't let it run to the Ruby part. I think that they are de-emphasizing her. I don't believe that she's being erased from the Arrowverse.
Okay.
I don't. But I
that's, it, it, wasn't it, a, it felt like extra, like the article being was, like, they've, I was like, it, I don't
know. It was SR. It was SR. And we don't take anything SR says at face value. And I plan to go back and rewatch the special, but I was talking to you on Twitter, Roja, the CW app is such trash.
It's such trash.
It's so painful to sit through. And I had not set up my DVR for all things Superman and Lois, because I've decided
you're all in.
That I'm watching it, but it's mine. I mean, it's mine. I mean, I understand Deepalm said the same thing. So people on the network are going to be angry because I don't think, I mean, at most we might get together at the end of the season and talk about a whole season recap, but we're not doing a one-on-one. This is mine. If for no other reason, I need to hate these children in silence.
I was talking to the doctor and to Parrish this weekend, and I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if we're going to cover it. We're all watching it, though. I think that's a thing.
Yeah, it's we're all watching.
It's
so, we may have to get together and round table at the end to see what we think about what they brought to the Arrowverse. But I don't think I need to hate these children in silence.
I like grown people superheroes. I'm grown now. I like grown people superheroes with people problems.
Are you, Shanna?
Yes, I am. I know it's surprising, but I am.
Grown people problems with Superman and Lois.
Yeah.
I just wish it was with the kids, but there are some grown people
I
was like, did you say reverse
mortgage?
Mortgage?
Yeah. I was like, this is real.
Did you really just have a whole conversation about people don't bring back their skill sets to their hometown? And that's why the world. I was like, I don't need to go back. I need the show to develop a little bit more.
Yeah.
Two, it is a kind of a different turn. I don't like all this. Oh, it's a return to the family values. I'm like, look, if you think this family is about to be okay, they need therapy far to a more degree than they are currently having it. But as it relates to what they're doing there, I do think that they are de-emphasizing Kate Kane. But you also have to remember, one of the very first things they did was give Ryan something that is a fatal disease. Yeah. So they've opened the door and left the door open for many things and many ways to go. Mm-hmm. I think that we are going to get to see Luke have to reach some different questions, because I don't know why it is, and this might be just like, look, this is the blackest black man thing ever. The bitch got to be dying before you realize exactly how trash you have been, and not being supportive and taking stock of everything that's being done and able to make an objective viewpoint and really process it. If this isn't what a hero is, I don't know what is. Now,
she had to give her, like, Ain't I a Batwoman part two speech to him about, like, I've been trying to prove myself to you. Like, I was like, Lord Jesus.
Swear to God, all I heard was, all my life I had to fight.
Yeah.
And I was like, why are we getting a Miss Sophia speech? I don't appreciate this. How dare you? But I do understand what they were going for. I do feel like it was a great moment and a great point of contact for them to have. It's another moment where Jasiva is acting past that tragedy of the wig that's on her head to do great work. And I said it.
They put this girl in a beautiful dress, straighten her hair, and I can still see the seams on the wig.
Okay, until this, the episode 6, it looked really bad. It looked like she was almost bald headed.
The thing is, edges are like a thing for black people.
Yeah.
How do they keep letting her walk around with those edges? I will never know. And I am someone who is sitting in my house 90% of the time. And if I got it like an important Zoom, I will lay my edges. I am so frustrated.
Do you know how many hats I have just because I ain't been doing my hair specifically because of that reason? How many ponytail holders? Everyone's just going to wave the hat at me. We all understand. But I also really feel like when you got that, I did, you know, kudos big up for giving us our exact moment of her getting a dress up, even if you did put her in a 2018 dress where everyone was going to know. But whatever, she looked real cute. It was fabulous to see her look amazing. I think it's going to circle back around to Luke is going to have to make some decisions. And I think depending on which way they go, we're either going to start to see Luke's evolution toward the Luke we got in the crossover episode, which I have no problems with. I think we've adequately established that I would be perfectly okay if he got rid of the suits and decided that what he wanted to wear was black leather pants. But I think attitude-wise, don't shake your head at me, Shanna. You know you would be okay with it, too. I think he's reaching the point to where they've opened the door for it to be less about Kate Kane having been who she was in the crossover and Batwoman having been that person, because his little checklist is exactly what made Kate the person who she needed to be, the light up on the ship when they got back. And he's like, I didn't say you would find the person on that nine. I said you would find the path to them yourself. I think that they, because someone needs to punch that bald man in his head. I don't care if he, like, you know, can't die. He looked like he felt pain. Someone should have hit him. But I do feel like that opens the door for them to make the Avatar more the Batwoman. And as long as the person in the suit is righteous, then that role is still being taken care of. Now, I know it's pissing people off because they feel like it's erasing her importance in that she had. But I don't think it does. I think it opens the door to I think it opens the door to reclaim that storyline and have it continue and to go forward, because Ryan has truly done more on a ground level for Gotham, to be in her city, to be a beacon of hope. And I know hope is Supergirl, whatever. you know what I mean? I really feel like she's had the dogged determination. She's had the will. She has refused to allow her own personal agenda to compromise her ethics and where she stands on what she does. Because if she didn't, Sophie would be dead and I would be happy. Yeah. So
would Alice.
Yeah.
Alice would be very dead. And so then, I was kind
of... I also think where, where they're de-emphasizing Kate as a necessary component for the story, they have never de-emphasized her importance as a character in this universe. And those are two different things. I think people are, getting upset because they're like, oh... They have never said that Kate Kane is not important to Gotham.
No. And I think that pushing back the image of that indelibly ties Ruby Rose to Batwoman, Ruby Rose to Kate Kane, opens the door for them to figure out a way to retain Kate Kane in the Arrowverse and Kate Kane's importance to Crisis. Mm-hmm. But again, they never said that it was Kate Kane. It was Batwoman. Mm-hmm. And again, you have to talk with respect to the idea of, there's no coincidences in the Arrowverse. So it wasn't happenstance that it was Ryan, out of all people, who got to the site, found the suit first. Mm-hmm. And I mean, because magic works here. Seriously, she's irradiating and pulsating from kryptonite, for Christ's sake. So I really feel like when you think about those things, they have to make some strategic decisions if they want to, and they want to retain the integrity of Crisis on Infinite Earths and what they did there and what that meant to the Arrowverse, especially considering how many shows are ending. You have to de-emphasize Ruby Rose.
Mm-hmm. You do,
whether you like it or not.
And I think, yeah, like you said, they're raising up Alice more so than Kate Kane. So I think there will be a point in the decision with whomever gets the map, whether or not to actually go to the island. And I would be happy if Team Batman, Batwoman, does not go.
I think Mary has to go. I think I think Mary might actually be who ends up on the island. But Alice has to go, because I truly think that we are leading up to the true emergence of Red Alice, should frighten everyone. Because
Red Alice is the best villain.
I just love, even without the who will go to the island, I love how things are converging. I just love how this show, this season, has managed to intertwine all these different threads in such an interesting way, so that we have those moments where, you know, Ryan, you know, like, you know, Lucas, like, we got to find back. And Alice said, and then Ryan's like, what? Who said? You know, like, all of these, like, moments and points of contact are converging, and it tends to converge or, like, you know, hit a point when people interact with Ryan, which is great. Because sometimes I feel like when you're introducing someone new and you aren't able to, like, fully integrate them, or, like, you know, they're just kind of, like, following along the characters we already know. Whereas, like, Ryan feels like she... While the storyline may be what happened to Kate Kane, or, like, how do we get Kate back, all of the points of convergence are Ryan.
Yeah, you don't get Kate without Ryan, and I do like the way that they've done that. But I also think that by having her not play second fiddle in her own show, they've kind of returned a cohesion to the Arrowverse that had been lost in some subsequent seasons to some of the other shows. Because the way they are still dedicated to the character development and twiling things out, and again, it's not underrated. It is not underrated and cannot be underestimated, the value of the characters not being straight. It changes the nature of the romantic relationships. I would still like to say that if Ryan and Angelica have reached a breaking point, that's real. Yes. I would like them to introduce a love interest for Ryan, who's Black.
I'll take woman of color.
Her current girlfriend is Cuban.
Ew.
The actress is Cuban.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, so...
I'll take white. Because okay, she's definitely fine. A white Latina.
Okay, I would say non-white presenting. And yes. I'm not saying that because I feel like I have a problem with interracial relationships, because that would mean I don't talk to half my family.
I have an issue with interracial relationships that are constantly a person of color and a white person. I do.
Yeah. That's my problem. Yeah. They feel like their ways of getting inclusion and representation is to bring somebody in and then to try to force assimilate and integrate them into the existing whole, rather than making space for them to exist as a character. And yes. The most primary way that that happens has to do with the way that they funnel and they make connections with respect to intimacy and love. And I mean, there was no reason whatsoever for them to make there be a cross stream between Sophie and Penny, other than the fact they wanted to create a love tension triangle, an actual triangle, versus like the regular triangles where it's like, oh, two people like this one person. I'm like, yes, but does that third person like either one of those two people? Because if not, then bitch, you don't have a triangle. Mm-hmm. So they wanted an actual love triangle, and they'd already introduced Penny. They already had Sophie, and they both were exes of Kate. So they went with that. I just really wish they would make some space. Now, there were some people who were like, well, people would have been mad if it turned out that Ryan's ex was Black and she was a criminal. I said, not if she wasn't a stereotype. Now, yeah. We don't need every Black person or non-white person on TV to be a pretty perfect little angel or striving for a redemption arc. I personally like my villains not to be seeking redemption. We all know this. But the thing that I really felt like would be added value at this point is, one, I don't think that there are enough Black people with affirmative parts who speak, who are not speaking in service to whiteness on some level, whether it's the city, the people they're trying to save. I love the fact at the beginning of episode 6, Ryan was like, what, y'all don't rob banks no more? You got to be out here messing with mom and pop. You know, I love those moments. And I really feel like I want to see other parts. Like, I love Regan when she was on here with her little pop up. That's because I love that blonde girl and she could do no wrong. I don't care. I don't care. I love her.
I love her so much. Okay.
I will make time for us to talk about Jeannie and Georgia so we can have a spoiler chat.
We're going to have to do like half a season 2 because I have thoughts.
Yeah, we may have to split that in half. But I really feel like if we could just get some other characters. Like, now, Ocean is non. He's not white presenting. I don't know what his background is. I don't really care.
He's a black.
He's one of ours. Good. I'd like to keep him. Yes. I would like to order 3.
He used to be on Devious Maids. He might be an Afro-Latino, but I'm pretty sure it's
me. I don't care. I just know I need to place an order of 3 because at least one's going to get broken. So, but the first thing you realize with Ocean is the way they've designed the story arc is there has to be an intimate or romantic connection to Alice. And that kind of annoyed me because I didn't feel that it was necessary to what they needed to do to build, to introduce the army, to create a trajectory for us to get more of Alice's background, Beth's background that doesn't have necessarily to do with Kate, to further bring Sophia into the show. And I'm sorry, they changed some of the storyline with Sophia, so I'm still hopeful that they introduce one of her other like top leaders, because that woman is Nigerian. It would be great if they had an actual another dark-skinned black woman on this movie who didn't feel like she needed to tap dance for a white man. But I just really feel like there's an opportunity they're missing there for them to create some actual good in Ryan's life. For there to be something that she has that isn't tied to something toxic. Mm-hmm. And I would love if they did that. And I would also love if they did that in service of recognizing and acknowledging Blackness, and that she could have a whole ass adult conversation with a Black woman that's not combative or toxic. The only healthy conversation that Ryan has gotten to have with a Black person was with a Black child who she was going to go find their damn brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I definitely feel you on that. Like, I said woman of color because my bar is so freaking low. But, like, I would love for her to have...
Your bar is laying on the ground. And
my bar is constantly on the ground because I have no faith. But, you know, again, since y'all are listening over there at the CW, you know, let's throw it up on the wish list. Let's throw it up on the brainstorm board. Mm-hmm. Like, would love, like, her with another Black woman. I, you know... Maybe that one will have a better wig. Maybe it'll be her hairdresser.
Maybe, please, Lord Jesus, give her a hairstylist. Give her a beauty salon to go to. We all know she's going to be there all day. That is a stereotype that I will be okay if you play into, if it means she gets to hang out with some Black people.
They literally have an episode where she goes
a whole ass
to the beauty shop. And by the time she walks out, she's fallen in love with her hairdresser.
With her stylist, when she walks in, the stylist just goes, girl, No, because I just feel like you've got this woman who's taken on this avatar, Batwoman. And a part of that has to do with her redeeming herself for all the things that she lost by having to go to that hellish prison. But you also have her still stuck in the places she was and who she was before she went to jail. And they never really let Black women move out of that kind of miasma once they decide that they introduce that to something. I'm going to stand strong. And like the people I love, I be there for it. Look, there are many ways to be ride or die. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you dumb enough to take your ass to jail, bitch, I got something on your book. I'm not going with you. You will have the best commissary ever. I will get you every lawyer that I could possibly get. You will have the most magnificent defense. I will try my damnedest to have the money to get you out on bond. But what you're not going to have is a cellmate.
You have all the minutes to call.
I'm never letting your phone die. Yeah. If I need to figure out a way to make sure you got protection so you don't get beat up in jail, I got you. But what I'm not going to do is go with you. And I really wish in the other ways that they're allowing her to grow in the suit, mm-hmm. I wish they would give some service to her being allowed to have that growth out of the suit. Yeah. Because moments like where her drug dealing girlfriend has to say, I'll cover the blood work because your insurance doesn't.
Yeah, Mary, I was a little upset by that.
She don't get dental. Like, she don't get dental and healthcare. How the hell? Medical.
She got an HSA, girl. She's spending her own. She's spending her own same $85 that she just submitted for reimbursement over and over again. That's what it sounds like.
Batwoman. Okay, she needs to be on Primo Insurance because Mary can't do everything.
Mm-hmm. But this is where I feel like there are these moments. Like, that should have been a conversation with Luke because that's the shit Luke should be able to handle. He's like, we're the Bat team. And Mary looked at him and said, no, we're not. And that should have been, that conversation actually should have happened with Ryan in the room. Because if we really going to talk about these dogs that ain't hunting, let's talk about the fact that I don't have the means to take care. I had to hide this from you because I can't trust that you would trust me and really have my back. And they have that conversation as it relates to Batwoman, but they don't have that conversation as it relates to Ryan. And it is extremely overdue. It's also why she's currently dying slowly from kryptonite, because nobody called Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
How the hell do you
Candace?
I mean, but also, I mean, isn't the whole thing that she had that kryptonite because Supergirl entrusted her with it? Which clearly she let it get out of, yeah. I mean,
didn't. Luke did that.
Yeah.
She hid it. He destroyed the piece of kryptonite that Batman had.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of Kate keeping her dumbass mouth shut to let him know that that wasn't actually the last piece of kryptonite, she not only told him that she had a piece, she told him she couldn't let him destroy it without permission. That's how we got into this whole situation with her ass not being at home and supposedly on a plane. She went to go see Candace. So I'm a little annoyed that they're leaving the door open with killing Ryan Wilder slowly, painfully. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like that was a necessary tie-in to Coriana. They did not need it. We've already got Sophia. We've got Ocean. We've got Alice. We've got Sophie. We've got this Kate mystery. Well, the strings,
I think that's going to be, I think that's going to be the thing that pushes Ryan to go to the island. Because, I mean, to be, like we've said, like, not that she wouldn't be, just because she's a good person, but like, I'm like, Ryan's like, I'm just trying to take down Alice. I don't understand this whole search for Kate situation. Like, this is not my
ministry. She's gonna go to the island. She'll go to the island if for no other reason she's gonna realize that no one can be trusted with Desert Rose, and the only way that she's going to be able to be fixed is on the island, and is if Sophia lets her. I think we're going to run into that dilemma. Either that, or Alice going to steal some shit again, or Ocean going to steal it, or we're going to see some kind of convergence. Because remember, we still haven't seen a real convergence between Ocean and Ryan. That hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. They've actually kept Ryan and Batwoman fully out of the loop, which is why she didn't know to tell Sophie to go fuck herself when she came into that bar that she was playing her.
Yeah. I was like, That really bothered me, and there's a huge communication problem in the Batcave.
Oh yeah,
maybe really they bad. Don't. They
well, because yeah, because she's keeping stuff from them because she doesn't trust that they'll trust her, and then they're not telling her stuff because they know they're not working. They're working with the wrong fucking people.
Yeah.
Right. And, so I think we still have some more points that are going to come together, especially considering the promo looks like they're saying that. Ryan is about to go all fuck it, if I'm gonna die, you going with me, and go after Alice. So that's gonna open up another cross point that we haven't seen directly between Ryan and Alice, because now Alice is gonna know who the new Batwoman actually is, because that's what we need. I mean, sure. But also another cross point with Ocean that we haven't seen, and potentially with Sophia. So I think we're going to get more flashbacks. I think something's going to come out of the confrontation between Alice and Ryan. And I think it's going to push things to a head to where also, you know, we don't know which messenger she's sending to come and get Ocean's body to go back to the island. So I think we are coming, all of those things are coming to a head. But I also think someone's gonna die real soon.
Yeah,
and we have 2 weeks before we see the next episode, because CW likes to still in this pandemic do breaks.
Yeah, unfortunately,
next episode is the 14th,
I think. Yes. So, and I think it's a combination of things. It's like the usual, they take breaks, and then also, you know, production having to stop. Lord knows Grey's Anatomy been gone since like mid-October.
Look.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Look,
I was wondering why my mother wasn't watching. Yeah.
If they don't figure out that Normal is dead,
mm-hmm.
and sit down with their lawyers and their logistics people, they need to hire actual logistics people, and we don't let you pay us nothing, and come up with a way to make a real bubble.
Mm-hmm.
That people are contractually bound to stay in if they'd like to see their paycheck and work, then they need to stop trying to do this, because the stop start of people getting sick and having to stop somebody breaking quarantine and everybody having to go and isolate is asinine, and it's extremely expensive, and eventually we're going to pay because they're going to try to pass that cost right the hell along to us. So I'm not with it. I think the show is good enough. I think it's got value. I think that they should sit down and say, we need to put everybody into a bubble. You guys need to agree to exist in this little world. We need to have a committed space, a committed time. And they need to pull a Marvel and just say, we're going to film all this like it's a movie, but we're going to go boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
And
then, build in the breaks. Y'all going to be free.
Like, do like 11 episodes or something.
Yeah.
Shorten this.
Yeah. Because
With the 22 season and just give us a good hot 13 and move on.
Because I think Supergirl hasn't even said that it's coming back. And I know why. If I'm Melissa, I just had a baby. And y'all need to figure something out before I show up on anybody's set.
Yeah. But see, that's why.
They only filmed up 6 episodes and then they stopped.
Yeah, they had to stop. But but the cast for this show, even with the constant introduction, I just really feel like at some point in time we might run up on some Bane, and I really would be all the way here for it. But I'm sorry, I got distracted.
Yeah, they're introducing some really, really good villains right now.
But even with what they're doing it at a pace that is actually not only, it's not wasteful, but it is actually a little aggressive. Mm-hmm. So if they wanted to do these and they filmed in cycles, first they could stop, knock out all these breaks. I know they want everybody's money. It just means you're going to have to green light some other shit and give us some new content hoes. But if they wouldn't start, that was terrible. Drag out the season by saying, okay, here's your 2 seasons and now we're going to wait and we're going to go do this other thing. I mean, do you just want us to stay on the Disney app? Because we will.
Yeah,
that's the risk they're running with this. So I think that this is a good show. I felt like this was a good story arc, but I felt like this was one whole story arc, and with very few threads left open, they've turned the episode that's supposed to be on the 14th into kind of the end of a 3 episode arc, and that's bad. That's very bad.
I'm just wondering if the delay is because of COVID and they're stretching this out. I mean, do we even know if this is a 22 episode season?
I don't think so. I think, I mean, right now, at least on IMDb, it only shows up to like the next episode. But I feel like if they're smart, they do it like a Legends of Tomorrow season, like 16 to 18. Get in, get mm-hmm. out.
But they're not smart. They're greedy. So there's no telling what they'll do. I'm just being honest. They're greedy.
But, you know, I mean, what I will say is so far, really continuing to enjoy it, really loving what they're doing. Like you said, whether some of these nuances are intentional or unintentional, they are doing some really good, interesting things, and you know, opening it up to a Black Batwoman has like really given some storylines, and you know, and where she comes from and all that kind of stuff has given some storylines that, you know, we just wouldn't have gotten with a Kate Kane. So I'm enjoying it.
I mean, I'm excited to see what they do next. I think we've got a chance to see some of the bigger villains who are going to be more of the tentpole villains. The opportunity for the army to really show up, especially if they really kind of lean into Alice as a faction leader. I think that we're going to see the de-evolution of the Crows.
Yeah.
And I think if I'm lucky, it's going to lead to hopefully a moment of reckoning with Sophie, that either we see her do what Batwoman says, she throw that piece of tin down on the ground and we really be about it. Although, you know,
you have no faith in Sophie.
I have no faith in Sophie's ass. She a cop. Look, I mean, come on. I'm not one of those people who hates all cops. I don't. I think it's necessary. But I think in her quest to change what law enforcement looked like, in her quest to be of service, she forgot who she was being of service to. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard to come back from. I also think even if she does decide that she wants to align herself more with the thinking of Batwoman and trying to be that way, she doesn't know how to help. She doesn't know how to be anything other than a sledgehammer and a bully. Mm-hmm. And it would be interesting to try to see her change her ways, but I really think at the end of the day that it's going to come down to it that Sophie's almost going to have to die before Sophie truly catches a clue. Because in almost Sophie dying, it's going to be the moment where Jacob really truly fails her and she truly comes to understand that when push comes to shove, she does not matter to him. Her life does not matter to him. Who she is as a person does not matter to him. What she wants and what she needs does not matter to him. The second their goals are not the same, the second she's not willing to subject herself to the commander, I think that's going to be one of the press points that we're coming to. And I think that it's going to be a very interesting one. And I think that Mary is going to have to reckon with what's happening with Hamilton and her place at the intersection of the Crows and Bat Team. So it should be interesting. And I love what they're doing with Luke Fox. I think it's taking a little too long, but I am loving it. But I also feel that if we're going to get Cameron Johnson, I would like them to take him out of a suit, because I'm just a thirsty bitch at the end of the day.
I mean, I honestly think what we're building to is either like a season finale or, you know, some sort of mid-season, I don't know what that looks like, finale, something called The Reckoning, because like that's really where we are with all of these characters that we've known since last season are going to have to reckon with their place and the things about themselves that they had not acknowledged in season one. And that's mm-hmm. really interesting in terms yes. of developing a second season of a show and introducing a new lead of a show.
Yes.
And I can't wait for the big bat battle, because I feel like it's building up to some kind of big bat battle.
You want your boss fight.
I want my boss fight, okay? I'm sorry. I like my boss fight.
I just want new love interests.
Mm-hmm. I want more sex fighting.
Okay, I wasn't going to say it, but yeah. I would
disappointed, yeah. CW.
Yeah,
the first season of Arrow, show me more.
Classic good sex fighting. Yeah. Oliver and Helena, and Oliver and Sarah. Just
word.
Classic
word.
Good sex fighting. Yeah, I really feel like
the potential for, you know, a potential for a takedown to turn into a takeover exists, and they're just really not giving it to us, and I don't appreciate it. I love the witty banter. I love the sarcasm. I love the annoyance. I definitely love Rachel Skarsten's Alice and all her many facets and form. But if there's ever been a woman who needed to get laid more, it was, I don't know who it is besides Alice. I think that would complicate things in a marvelous ways. I really, truly love the character actress for Sophie. I love Megan Tandy. Mm-hmm. It is very painful for me to realize that she has done such a good job creating a character I want to die. But but I would also like them to complicate her life. I would like them give me some conflict of her starting to realize exactly why she's alone and the consequences of that, instead of her just coming to those vicarious realizations between Ryan. I would like to see some personal dynamic development for that. So if that means we need to get a scene in the holdup where she actually picks somebody up and it turns into not more than just a midnight smash, I'd like to see it. Mm-hmm. Because if they're going to keep Sophie, I need her to be about something more than trying to prove that this time she won't abandon Kate because she walked away from her before. I'm really tired of people thinking that that is the kind of sacrifice that is necessary to prove love. Love is something you give somebody. It doesn't have conditions, and you don't have to run and earn it. Now, do you have to work to keep it? Yes. But this shit they have her doing to try to prove that Kate was in fact the love of her life and that this time she won't give up on her is nauseating. And
it's the same with her dad. I'm like, you over here continually trying to like prove that you're a good dad by avenging or finding or, you know, honoring the daughter that was lost. And now you're about to be 0-3 because there is still a live daughter you're not dealing with.
There's Alice, which he tried to lock up, but he's not looking for again. He's not trying to help her in a real meaningful way.
And he know her ass need help.
She does need some help. And there's Mary. He's not, he's just not present or there. They seem like his children are just manifestations of his story that he presents to the world. They're props. They are. And they're not actually his children.
They're not a problem until they're a problem, and then he remembers that they matter. And that's what bothers me about Jacob Kane. He's deeply selfish, he's extremely arrogant, and nothing matters unless it's in relation to him. So, he's chasing ghosts, and he thinks he's doing the right thing. I'm like, I'm trying to save my family, but every step he takes, every move he makes, leads to nothing but the destruction of what he's allegedly loves. Yeah. And that tells you that what he's doing is wrong. But I will say Doug Gray is doing a great job as Commander Kane.
He's looking grizzled. He's
slowly deteriorating. The facial hair is coming. He's looking more ragged.
I don't appreciate it. I was like, is somebody taking care of him at home? Because he's really putting in the work to look
they
like
said,
trash at
let's
work.
Lean okay. into this like pandemic shelter in place.
I was like, you look like he looked 14 drinks past like good kidney health, and I'm not okay with it. Has somebody checked his liver temperature? Please help Doug Gray. I like him. Keep him alive. But yeah, no, I think it's a good moment. I think they had good movement. We didn't get nearly enough sex. And if you're gonna play in the land where people's exes show back up, I'm sorry. Let's be real. When you have a contentious relationship with a former ex, there's far more sex than we've gotten. Far more. I don't know why it's all off scene. Why is it all off scene? I really feel like y'all didn't have no problem having Kate's ass get a girl naked with the quickness. I mean, she presto change old bitches out their clothes. So why is every time that there's supposed to be intimate or romantic or love between Ryan and Angelique, it's been off screen? I would like questions answered.
Not even a real, like, firm kiss or anything like that between the two characters.
There hasn't even been a proper grope.
No.
So we all know what we're here for.
But I'm serious. I think it matters. We got a proper grope in a flashback with Ocean and Alice that was more of a tangible connection in just the flashbacks that they've given than what they gave with Jaceva. And if you're gonna have a character who is openly gay on your show, and
she's to be gay,
let her be gay. You let me start out kiss. Like, what? As soon as it's a boy, she just lick him up and down on the screen. How about I would like parody?
Mm-hmm. I feel you. I'm just saying, I just want to acknowledge that this panel knows what we're here for.
Yes.
What, sex fighting, sexy times. This is what we're here
it's
for.
It's sexy outfits.
Yes.
And let Mary get some. Good God.
Yes.
Ooh. Yes. I don't think she's been with anybody.
Yeah. Okay.
No, poor little girl is just isolated, dealing with all this bullshit. And don't let it be Luke. Don't mess up that relationship, CW.
And
don't come.
The look that Luke gave Ryan when she was in the dress, even though yes, he can admire, but it was like, it was a little lingering. It was like, come on.
Yeah, I feel like he would have done the same. Like,
yeah, no, I think Luke is a grown ass man, and he walked in the room and she looked
and
voluptuous
like,
and delectable, like, and he was like, I wasn't expecting that. Damn. I don't have any problem with him having a damn moment. I'm like, oh, great. But I mean, you know, he can't touch. Let the man at least look. But I do feel like we need to have a bit of parody. And I feel like every single time that somebody gets to get close to somebody and we actually see it on screen, it deals with a white character.
Yeah.
So you've got a black man, you've got an Asian woman. You've got a black woman, two of them. Parody.
Mm-hmm.
And not just because I'm a thirsty bitch.
Yeah. All of
but
it.
They also just happen to be the prettier people on the show. And show me some leg. What you doing?
Yeah.
Work with me.
I'm with it.
I'm just saying.
All right. We are going to get out of here.
Sorry, y'all.
So we will be back, I guess, in like a while. Because there won't be another couple episodes for a while, but you know, keep watching. I definitely saw folks being like, we're out here, the Batwoman fans, we're watching. So we appreciate it. I'm sure the show appreciates it. And continue to support the show, because I feel like it's just going to continue to get better.
You need to openly support the show. They're playing games with the whole Nielsen ratings drop. They're already doing it. They started last week. So if you watch the show, talk about the show. And, you know, just as a shameless promo for us, please, you know, leave us a review on movie trailer reviews. Leave us a review on Super Tuesday recaps. Leave us on Apple Tunes and all the other places you can. Retweet the episodes so we can still get access to things and talk about the show, because, you know, if we do it well enough, they might one day just approve one of our interview requests, and instead of us talking about a recap, you might get us here as talking about with some of the talent. So
yeah,
I mean, I ain't got no problems. I know the press contacts email. No, y'all let us know
if you would like a real first and third cast.
Seriously, like, if you guys have any questions, if you have any theories, hit us up on Twitter. You know, my black ass lives there. Shanna ain't far behind. Hiroja try to act like she ain't there, but she there.
Yeah, we haven't had a good thirst cast in a while, so this counts.
I mean, are you sure? Because I feel like this is counts. At least a good introduction.
This counts.
I mean, we went long because we wanted to kind of talk about all the different character arcs, what things you were excited for. We kind of went a little light on the comics crossover source material this time. So obviously we'll probably circle back around to that next time. But seriously, if you're enjoying Batwoman, if you like it, please make sure you talk about the show, because CW is real quick to cut us off at the knees or to change the writing room. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, I think this writing room is becoming progressively better, and we would like all our people to stay employed. So yes. Let them know.
Yes. All right. With that PSA, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you